Hello, friends, and welcome to Season 2 of the Yes Theory Podcast, presented by Headspace Studios. Over this past year, there has been a lot of change, and the changes have left us no other choice but to grow. It stalled our aspirations for travel. It stalled our aspirations for live experiences with our community. And just in general, it stalled us from expanding into our next phase. As if COVID wasn't a big transition in itself, this past year, I decided to leave the country to reconnect with my roots and my family in France. On top of that, Matt stepped away from filming and hosting videos with us to focus on his own passions. And Amar was in a life-changing car accident that inspired many realizations in his own life. With all of this change came the inevitable hard conversations and mental struggles. But without this discomfort, there would be no growth. This season on the podcast, we're excited to take a deeper dive at a type of discomfort that we rarely get to feature in our videos, but that truly is where the real work happens, the internal discomfort. While in our first season, we brought you a more formatted approach, in this season, we wanted to discuss these difficult topics through candid conversations between friends and brilliant thinkers around us. Our hope is that our real-time realizations on this podcast will help you gain a deeper understanding of yourself and the world around you. So subscribe and stick around for many vulnerable and passionate conversations. We're excited to have you along for the ride. I believe that friendships are our most underrated relationships. In the media, there's a lot of attention given to relationships, marriages, and family. But why do we almost never talk about our friendships? They influence huge parts of our lives, and as the famous quote goes, you are the average of the five people you surround yourself with. So how do we nurture great friendships? What happens to them when we start to grow in different directions? Well, as Amar, Matt, and I have been friends for as many years as we have, we like to think a more appropriate term for our situation is marriage. Having lived together, worked together, filmed together, traveled the world together, and been friends for 6 years, our friendship is now evolving, which at first was really scary.
I've thought to myself, how in the world did I get so lucky?
We had done everything together for the past 5 years, but Matt was starting to lose a bit of his own identity in the group and needed some time away from filming to focus on something else, his writing.
I have spent the last 5 years of my life sharing my stories with my friends to you watching. 5 years of adventures and emotional moments and breakdowns and triumphs. And so many times throughout this process, I've thought to myself, there's so much to be thankful for. But about 2 years ago, I started to get this gnawing feeling that maybe there was something else. Maybe there was more that I wanted to do in a different area. And at first I ignored it. I didn't want to hear it.
And at first, we honestly were not too happy about it. We felt a bit abandoned, and it was hard not to take it at least a little bit personally. But over time, we recognized that change was inevitable. As we grow older, our interests, our desires, and ambitions evolve for many of us. And after a few months of trying to figure out what this meant, we decided to give him some space.
Now, when you're the face of a channel and you're living the dream, quote unquote, it feels extraordinarily selfish to say, hey, you know what? I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. And soon enough, I brought this up to Amar and to T-Boogie. And it turned into long conversations of whether me leaving would be the end of Yes Theory or what we would do next or what it would look like. But what's amazing, it's the part where I'm going to cry again. What's amazing about Yes Theory and what we've built together is support. There was nothing but love and support.
In this very first episode of our second season, Amar, Matt, and I are taking a deep dive into what makes true friendships work. We share how COVID has affected our relationships and discuss some of the personal battles and revelations that we have experienced over the last year and beyond. Let's begin. Welcome back. This is our first episode back on our second season, which is a little more laid back, you know, laid back theory.
That's cool.
Laid back theory. We're going to pick still a specific theme and discuss it and give you the best parts of that conversation. And today we're discussing friendship, 6 years of marriage. Sorry, friendship.
Same thing.
Same thing at this point. Same. Because, I mean, it is more than friendship what we have.
Yeah. This is potentially the only time that you'll have the three of us in the same conversation for this season and potentially this year with Matt having made the decision to take a step back from filming this year. But so Matt, do you want to give us an update of where things currently are? Because yes, there's been a lot of changes over the past year, I would say. Mm-hmm. And obviously we share that with people on YouTube, but maybe some of the people listening don't know where you're at.
Yeah. 8 months ago, I came to you guys and we had a long conversation actually right here where we talked about what it would look like if I stepped away from filming. And it's something that I'd thought about for a long time. And there were other things that were starting to pop up and start to interest me. One thing in particular was writing. We have a newsletter and I loved writing our newsletter. And we kept talking about a book, but I couldn't find time to write a book, but I really wanted to. But again, the three of us were always filming, so it was hard to find time. And I was gradually realizing that I'm way more passionate about that stuff than I am about hosting. And you guys were very gracious in allowing me to gradually take a step back. And I made an announcement in February explaining this decision, why I was leaving and what I was going to do next. And then my first task was going to be to write the book. And that's what I'm currently working on right now. And so the reason I'm not going to be on this podcast for the remainder of the season is because I'm going to go off for a few months and reflect, continue writing. There is a lot to reflect on. This book could be 2,000 pages. So dissecting what we've been through, our friendship, the ups and downs, and picking out the most important pieces is going to be the key in writing this book. Mm. And I feel like in order to do it well, I need to remove myself from the day-to-day here to be able to have a more objective perspective, an overview of everything, and allow myself to just sit with it all. Mm.
And for context, Matt is leaving in 72 hours after recording this podcast. So you're getting...
It's pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'm not even packed or anything. We're just sending it, you know? Yeah. But it's kind of cool. I'm excited to go off on my own for a bit and just see what that feels like.
As you're just seeing the 6 years of friendship and events and moments, what is something that has become very obvious to you as a trend about our friendship? Or why do you think it worked?
The thing that I talk about in the book in the beginning, before I met you guys, I had those other businesses that I tried to start with other co-founders. And everybody was just half in, you know. But then when I met you guys, it was like, the way I describe it is, you feel like you've been crazy your whole life. And then you realize that this person speaks the same crazy language. And you understand each other the way that other people can't. Mm-hmm. Like they don't even speak the same language. It's a completely different wavelength. When we met, it felt like a handshake to growth and evolution. It felt like a handshake to, this is going to take a long time. And we're going to make a lot of mistakes. But we're going to see each other through those ups and downs. And it's going to continuously gradually go up. Again, I believe in the evolution. And that an evolution is often best through a relationship because you learn so much about yourself. And I think what's made our relationship work is that we've just been so patient with each other through that evolution. And like, for example, you and I have very different phases of our evolution. And I'm going to call you out on your bullshit.
When you say you and I, you mean you and Amar?
Amar and I, you know, and I'm a little older as well. So I feel like my evolution has happened earlier, or at least the things that I've wanted to do in my life have happened sooner, I think, than you guys. And so on my part, that's required a patience to be like, okay, you know, 2 years ago, I was in a very similar place and I have to understand that this kind of stuff takes time.
this friendship has just taught me everything. Everything. Just literally, it's revealed all my fears. My fears of abandonment, my fears of not being able to trust, my fears of losing everything.
I think sometimes we forget how much pressure has also been on our friendship, right? Mm-hmm. Like constantly, when you're filming together, you have to always be kind of like, you have to be in a good mood. Like it doesn't really work or feel good if someone's upset or whatever. And so you have to constantly either postpone certain emotions or just ignore them. And there, it's very rare that there's like convenient times to mm-hmm. bring uncomfortable things up, you know? And when you're filming a lot, that gets pushed back constantly. And I think, you know, sometimes I think we're hard on judging our friendship because it's not a perfect friendship. You know, I think the highlight reel is still like we try to our best to show the realness of it, but you're not going to show all of the little things that happen. But I also think there's nobody else that I'm friends with that I do this much stuff with. You know, most of my friends, we hang out and it's like leisure time. Mm-hmm. There's not pressure on us to accomplish something together, you know? Like in sports team, you can be friends and get in arguments with your teammates, you know? And in a lot of ways, building a company is the same thing. Being a part of a group of people to work together requires the emotional intelligence that it takes to communicate, that it takes to manage dynamics and relationships is actually the most difficult and important thing that is never really convenient to do. Mm. Like it's easier to talk about strategy of what the next thing is to do. It's not that easy and ever convenient to talk about
feelings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels like a waste of time and it sometimes it can be like, oh, just get over it. You know? And I feel like that's what we tell ourselves. But I think our friendship always feels the best when we don't feel like we're not telling each other how we're doing or how things are mm-hmm. how things are going in our own worlds, because it's very easy to get lost when you're a part of a group too, like lose yourself in it. And you're like, wait, what am I doing? And I feel like maybe that's what happened to you.
Mm-hmm. I feel like not too long ago, honestly, I was just like, what part of my life is my own? Like what thing outside of this do I have that's just for me? And in order for a friendship or any relationship to actually be healthy, those things need to be defined. Because otherwise you have no idea where the line is between this and your life, and then all of a sudden you grow resentful. And so I think the practice has been learning to define those things, because I had never have really in my life. And it's been difficult and it's been hurtful at times to my friends and to you guys. And it's part of going away again, where it's like, I just want this moment for myself to allow all of this to process just for me, so I can be a better friend, I can be a better co-founder, I can be a better partner, a better brother. I mean, marriage therapists talk about it all the time. You know, it's like the Venn diagram. Like you need your life, they need their lives, and then you have this third thing, which is the thing that you share. And a good friendship, in my opinion, is that a good, you know, as co-founders, that's what we have. And that's what we're learning to develop. But for the first 4 years, there was none of that because there was just no time. Mm-hmm. We all have the same friends. We do the exact same work. We go to the same places. We live in the same house. I think that the fear is almost this like lack of control over your own life. Mm-hmm. It's like a thing that you do is greatly going to affect me and I don't have control over you. Same with, you know, for anybody in this group. And you need some control over your own life. You need some say. And I think as we grow older, it genuinely becomes more enjoyable. Because you start to define who you are and what you like and what's just for you. But you also get to be a part of this amazing thing that we've created together. And what a blessing. It's like a family, you know. And it's just a learning process. It takes time to define those parts of yourself.
Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to distinguish between friendship and work kind of co-founder responsibilities as well, mm-hmm. right? I think part of what has been the challenges that we've faced sometimes is the fact that there is no line. Mm-hmm. And I think when we've done well is when we almost at the start of the conversation, or even when we give each other any kind of feedback, we say, my friendship part of me feels this way and my co-founder part of me feels that way. You know, because sometimes those parts don't agree. right? Like when you wanted to leave, my friendship part was like, absolutely. But my co-founder part was like, well, what about me? Like, what do I do? I just do what now? You know, yeah. Like, where am I supposed, are we just two people or like, what's the deal now? You know, and it's taken a while to figure this out. And I think we're at a better place professionally. And I think that that is actually allowing us now to figure out personally also like our relationships and our dynamics.
For sure.
So those have actually, once we drew the line and made it clear, it's made it easier to tackle each one at a time. Because when you try to do both at the same time, it gets really messy. And that's hard. And I think a lot of people that, I mean, if you have a co-founder, if you're building your own business, you either become friends with that person or you maybe you were friends in the first place. And they say, what, 2/3 of businesses fail specifically because co-founders stop getting along? Like, that's an insane amount of businesses that died because two humans couldn't talk to each other. That's crazy to think about, you know? And that was what our mentor said since the start, is like, as long as you guys still get along, this thing's going to be fine, you know? And I think that's why the periods where we like don't get along as well, or like have a hard time communicating with each other, it's scary because it's also our business. And we, the back of our heads, it's like, this is a lot. this is a lot of pressure on figuring this out. Like with a friend, if, I don't know, I haven't gotten in a lot of fights with friends, but if you do, it's like, you just give it a couple of weeks and then you're kind of, you're hanging out and you're like, ah, that was funny. You know, it's fine. You know, and then you roast each other and you're back at it. But with the nature of what we do, it's so much more pressure and we're always around each other. And then we need to film with each other. And so it's extra hard to figure out how to unwind some of these things sometimes. And we're still going to grow together, but we're also experimenting in what it's like to grow in our own areas. And I think that that's super important when you're a part of a group and you're all creatives. Because you do identify yourself as business, but you're also extremely creative. And I think you undervalue that part of yourself quite a lot.
More and more I value it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. The writing has made me realize it for sure. But even in the business as an art form as well.
Yeah.
There's a lot of parts of it where I'm like, wow, this is very creative.
100%.
And I enjoy that, too. I enjoy having the differences.
What do you think people get most wrong about friendship?
I think people change, and that's good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fear associated with change. I don't know if you would answer the same thing or something different.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they say about marriages too. Yeah. I was talking to a girl who has been with her, she's 30 and she's been with her husband since she was 15. And she was saying, everybody asked me like, how have you just stayed with one person for 15 years? You know, you've never experimented or whatever. She's like, I've been with 8 different people over those 15 years. Mm. He's been 8 different people. There's been like every 2 years an evolution of the man he is. So I'm not dating the same guy that I was when I was 15. And I think that's like a true friendship, a true marriage is expecting that and learning to communicate through the change. And how do you communicate now differently as each person evolves in, again, their own timelines? Because sometimes people are going to be like, hey man, I'm up here now, or I'm over there, or I'm down here. And you're like, wait a second, but I'm still over there. And you're like, how do we talk now? It's figuring out like how to communicate with the understanding that the base layer doesn't change, and the base layer is core love and trust that this was going to work out. As long as the communication is open and honest, it can work.
Yeah, I mean, I think any relationship that you have is an ongoing thing that needs work. I think it does require both, though, to be willing to have an open conversation and also be empathetic to how it affects the other person. You know, it's like a two-sided thing, right? Being honest with ourselves, but then also being mindful of the other, and then finding a way to meet each other halfway, to at least have a conversation, and then figuring out what the best thing to do about it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, you know, that is the expectation from a true genuine friendship, is like pure honesty and the transparency of just being able to communicate. And you know, Matt and I had a really shitty conversation yesterday that was very painful to, like, you know, go through, and shitty in regards to like how you feel sitting through something like this.
You can dive into that if you want.
Yeah. You know, we're coming here to talk about how to be friends. I'm like, I don't know, I'm just trying, and it's really fucking hard. And right now I'm feeling it more than ever. But I also know that I wouldn't want to have it any other way, even if right now I'm not really seeing, not feeling it as much. Mm-hmm. I just feel like our relationship is put on such a pedestal of like, when you think about like this like ideal dream friendship that you want to have with people around you and cool things that you could be doing, I think Yes Theory is a pretty strong, you know, contender with that. Yes Theory, the thing and the people and like what we share. And I feel like because of the nature of what we do, a lot of the sharing is in a very positive direction, and it's about the moments of like support and being there for each other. But I think there are moments where it's not like that, and sometimes, you know, tough love is being used to get each other to like realize things. And I hope that the podcast can be a place where we can show more of that and talk about the complexities of these things, because it's not the packaged like feel good episodes that you just end up seeing on YouTube. It's a lot more than that.
We'll dive into this after a quick break. So you've probably tried meditation before and it didn't work, right? Or maybe you felt like you were doing it wrong. If mental health is a part of your self-care plan this year, you owe it to yourself to try Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditation in an easy-to-use app. In my own experience, using Headspace now for 1,000 days straight, I feel much more at ease with a little minute daily stress. I feel more comfortable having difficult conversations that usually would give me a lot of anxiety. And I feel significantly more grateful after I meditate for being alive every single day. You deserve to feel happier. And Headspace is meditation made simple. So go to headspace.com/yestheory. That's headspace.com/yestheory for a free month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. This is the best deal offered right now. So head to headspace.com/yestheory. And now, back to the episode.
I just kind of want to cover a little bit of what we talked about yesterday. Because I think it is pretty important. Amar and I sat down for like an hour and a half, 2 hours yesterday. And I just expressed just like a lot of frustration that I've felt in our friendship. And obviously there's just been so much good. So this was a rare occasion that I got like angry. I think in friendships and relationships in general, you can get away with a lot because you understand so much about where a person comes from and why they are the way they are and where they hurt. There's this tendency to want to help and save and fix. And what I've found that's been helpful for me is when people have told me where they can't be there for me, where this is my thing to deal with, where it's like, you're going to have to go through this and you'll be the better for it. But you can't keep coming to people with this same problem over and over. And I think an act of love is telling somebody like, you're just better than this. And like, you're stronger than you actually think. And the things that annoy you about yourself are going to have to require you to go inwards. And at a certain point, I think a good friend, just like a good teacher, says what needs to be said and is there when they need to be there, but it ultimately steps away because the greatest teacher allows you to learn on your own. And I think where I've struggled in our friendship is I just haven't known that line of like, when do I need to be tough? When do I need to be there? When is it too much? And when is it my thing? And am I over exaggerating? And in trying to walk that line, you make mistakes, you know, like you get angry when you're not supposed to get angry. You hurt the person when they didn't deserve to be hurt. And I have a tendency to be more extreme. But ultimately for me, it's out of a belief that the three of us individually are going to be incredible leaders, and incredible leaders take incredible care of themselves, because nothing would make me happier than seeing both of you and the three of us all together becoming the best leaders possible. And I think we're getting there, but it starts with taking care of ourselves first. That's the number one thing in any relationship. Got to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm. I feel like any tendency that you've had to want to be extreme is more a response of maybe not having paid attention for too long, and then it feels like an extreme solution is needed. But really, almost every single time, like, it's much simpler than we think.
For sure.
But we build it up in our heads, especially if you're like an anxious person. It's very easy to, I mean, I'm a total conflict avoidant person, so that's how it happens for me. Like, I'm just afraid of causing conflict, and so I'd rather just not say it. And that's not great either. You know, and that's what I've realized last year is my fear of conflict has actually hurt our dynamic because there's times where I was wanting to say something and I didn't. And then I walked into the dynamic with like an undertone of resentment. And then that was unfair because nobody knew. So it's unfair because I didn't even give you guys a chance to notice that I was feeling not great about certain things. And so what I learned last year and start of this year is that the main responsibility I have is to not being afraid to being honest. But also, you know, when I was honest, I was trying my absolute best to also be extremely considerate of both of your sides. And I knew that there's certain things that I would say that would hurt and shake some feelings. But at the same time, I was also trying my best to show that I'm not giving up. I'm not leaving you as humans, but I'm going to be clear about how I feel about some of the work parts of what we do. But I'm not abandoning either of you as humans. Because at the start of the year, I did have a lot of trouble with figuring out my individuality in this group and what I want to do. And do we even still want to do the same thing? Like when you wanted to leave and write the book and I was in France and I couldn't get back and I was filming on my own and you were filming here. Like, you know, I started to question, like, do we all want to do the same thing still, you know? And like, I wanted to still do YouTube. That's what I really enjoyed doing that. Mm. And I think there was a lot of things that had upset me that I just hadn't even brought up that for both of you were like new information. Mm-hmm. And I recognize that it's not fair for me to make any kind of decisions before I even come and sit down and talk about it. And you know, it's an ongoing process, but like for the most part I felt very good about being able to talk to both of you and how we were able to work through some of the things that we all talked about. And I think that that's what it comes down to, is like I think sometimes what's hard is you're not going to share a live disagreement online, you know? So sometimes what goes up the week that we're disagreeing is a video of us hanging out. And I think that creates, like, it rubs off a little bit on the feeling, because it's like, are we lying to people? You know what I mean? Like, that's the hardest part, is not feeling like we're even being honest to the outside world. And then it feels like, is it a brand? And I think that's when it sucks the most, is when like what's happening behind the scenes and what's being put out into the world is different. Because, I mean, you're not going to line those things up right away. And what are you supposed to do? Like, hey, guys, we're fighting right now. You know, like that's going to happen. And like, it's really hard to reconcile that. And I think that that's why it's not even like a regular co-founder relationship that we have. It's actually even more complicated than that. Like, it's...
That's what I'm realizing through this conversation, is actually we are... Our relationship doesn't look like a regular friendship at all.
Yeah.
Because there's so much...
Yeah, we're not really talking about friendship. We're talking about how having massively intertwined lives, we're in like a weird pocket, actually. We're not just co-founders. We're like publicly living, you know? And when you add all those layers up, it's a lot. Yeah. Like, honestly, I don't... I did an inventory of all the people that I know in my head, and there's not that many that I could see doing all of these things for 6 years with. Like, I think it's pretty magical that we've actually been able to do all of this for 6 years. Like, it's a lot.
Well, I was explaining it to someone the other day. I actually drew it for them. I was like, well, it's marriage, the most sought after relationship in society. It takes two to make it work. And even then, it's incredibly hard. Here's what we're doing. There's three of us. And each relationship goes two ways. But then with the other, it goes to the two other ways. And then you have to manage like a three-way dynamic plus two ways going in each direction. Your dynamic with one of the two can be really good, but then with the other can be completely like off course at that point, and then that comes to affect the other dynamic in a different way that you have to be aware of, because now you understand like tendencies about what is it like for Amar and Matt not to talk. How is that going to reflect on Amar and his relationship with Thomas, and Matt and his relationship with Thomas, and how you should adjust to that, and what you should like. It's so much.
Yeah,
it's constant. And and back to something you were saying about us communicating to each other in full, and about communicating to each other in like full transparency, because we were so lucky and blessed that we were winning quite a bit, that it just constantly felt like it was working, and that maybe it would do more harm for us to like quote unquote throw off the energy by having a really hard conversation that might affect the energy for a couple of days, when we know that we don't really have a couple of days to afford because we're working on the next thing.
And I think what happened last year is that we actually deeply started to struggle because of COVID. Like every single opportunity we possibly had either got permanently canceled or postponed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that exposed the fact that actually the bigger problems weren't the fact that we ran out of ideas and work with brands. It was more so like we hadn't really talked, all of us, beyond small problems, you know, like really talk to each other about what each of our direction is, mm-hmm. and where we all want to go. And I think it was extremely challenging to work through, to figure out, you know, if we could actually get to the point where we are today. And it's still like in motion, and we're trying to figure out like how do we structure the business side so that we all feel content individually and then can actually put our friendship at a better place. Because the work in the business is obviously a huge part of what causes issues.
Mm.
You know, if you take that out and you take the expectation out and you take the pressure of when you're filming together, like it has to be good vibes and no matter what happens, you have to show up and do it. Take all of that out, things are easier, you know. And then in other ways, also like building together is exciting. You know, having a mission creates an environment for a lot of very exciting conversations, mm-hmm. as well. Like we all like to talk about the future and all of that. So it's kind of like a weird thing where you just have to balance that out properly.
Mm-hmm. Man, the amount of relationships that we know that got screwed by COVID, screwed in probably a good way, but the amount of breakups.
I had two of them.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, but you, but, and then friends, just so many friends and co-founders that we know. I mean, COVID, it was like you saw what was happening in the world was also happening in homes with couples and relationships. You can't distract yourself from it. So everything's coming to the surface.
Yeah.
All this bubbled up anger and resentment and the things that you just avoided talking about because everybody was just too busy and had to move on.
And naturally, nobody was prepared with, you know, a good enough level of communication and transparency and openness to be actually having any of these conversations.
Yeah.
If anything, I would say people got more distracted or found ways to distract themselves.
I think you picked one of the two, right? It's either like you lean into it,
yeah.
or you found better ways to forget about it.
Yeah.
But honestly, had COVID not happened, we would have probably not had a lot of tough conversations. And then we might not actually be all, you know, it might have reached the point of explosion.
For sure. I mean, the direction it was going in is completely different to where it is now.
Yeah.
Before COVID.
And I genuinely feel amazing about where we are now.
Yeah.
In terms of the way that we're building, the way that we're still working on communicating with each other and figuring out how to do that the best way possible. I mean, yeah, we're in a co-founder dynamic. In any dynamic that you have, I think learning how to be good at communicating is obviously one thing, but learning how to also apologize and forgive is a very big part of healing and moving on, because there is zero relationships that's perfect. There's just none, you know? And I think some are not great and like it's good that those relationships end when they're not great. But others just require two humans to figure out how to communicate maturely, and that's difficult. And there's going to be mistakes, and it's just about being in for the ride of that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a constantly learning, evolving thing, and not letting egos either get hurt or also just letting the egos accept the fact that there's always a lot of learning to happen.
What's one thing people can do to like call in better friends in their lives? Like, how do you prime yourself with the attitude, the energy,
What is your answer to that? Because
be in motion towards the things that you want to build and the things that you want to create, because that is actually how you align the frequencies of other people who are on a similar pursuit end up coming into your life. And I feel that's so evident in our story. I feel like we were doing pretty well at 21 and 22 and 23, and just like really trying to find the people that align in values and align in just life philosophy, and that allowed us to eventually like find each other, commit to each other, and build what we built. So I'd say being in motion, not waiting for the right people to be in motion.
But yeah, putting yourself out there is 100% like being proactive about it.
Yeah.
I've heard that we get some of the natural itch that we have to socialize. We get it we get like an empty version on social media. Because if we didn't have social media and we had no idea what people were doing, we would be, one, having way more conversations with people. We would be way more proactive about reaching out and doing things, you know. But now it's so easy to feel like you have been social when you haven't.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, as a response to social media, we have to be even more proactive to go out and seek those opportunities and situations. And I mean, hopefully we will be building tools and opportunities that can enable experiences or situations where people can meet and do these things.
Yeah.
Because it shouldn't be complicated. And I think sometimes what people feel awkward about is like, sometimes you can feel like a loser if you're like looking to make a new friend. But everyone is, you know, but you don't want to be the person that is maybe doing that all the time. And so it's like, if you create a situation, or if we create an environment where that is a totally acceptable thing to want to do, I think that has such a higher percentage chance of actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, yeah, it's hard to meet people. You know, even being in a big city, you know, they say the loneliest city in the world is New York City. And like in Tokyo, right? It's like the busiest cities in the world. So it's like, why is that? It's just like hard to meet people. You move there and you're like in a tiny apartment and everyone's in a rush all the time. So it's like, we have to be more proactive. And now that the fabric of society is changing, we have to figure out how to be more proactive about creating relationships and then figuring out how to maintain them. Because it's hard. But at the end of the day, like when we're in our deathbed, like that's the main thing we're going to remember and cherish.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like, it's both the hardest time to make friends, but also the most important time to make friends, especially coming out of what we just went through. That's why we thought, just as a first episode and the only one that would have the three of us to just talk about some of these things that we feel contributed to making our friendship work. But also hopefully just, you know, reminding people that the Yes Theory community is an amazing place that they can tap into and create some of these friendships and some of these collaborations, and just like putting yourself with a group of people that want the same thing has so much value in ways that you can imagine and can't imagine. So, you know, I hope that this is just a reminder of the mission ahead and everything that we aspire to create, to create these circumstances for people to meet and connect and create so many beautiful things out of these genuine connections, just like we did. It is really odd, you know, now that we were vaccinating, finding myself being with, you know, bigger groups and interacting with people, I'm feeling social anxiety. And really? that is as far as it gets from like,
wow,
who I am.
Wow, I thought I'd hear you say that.
Yeah.
Damn.
So I can only imagine like for just like like people who are your normal, you know, ability to connect with people. I can't even imagine how.
I think there's a layer of guilt too that has been like ingrained.
From COVID?
Anytime you're around
more
than four people, you're like panic,
you know? Yeah. I don't know. I've kind of realized that I'm pretty capped on friends. I feel like
Matt is good. Conclusion. Matt's good, guys.
Yeah. You know, I feel like because of everything, like all these people, you know, we have so many people in our community that now when I meet a new person, I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I can add you to this list. And it sounds like arrogant to say, but it's kind of true. I'm like, I feel like I don't need to add more. I just need to go deeper with all these people that I have in my life. And that includes family. Like sometimes I'll know more about a stranger than I'll know about my freaking dad. Like, why am I not investing this energy into talking to my father? So again, part of me going back home and then to Puerto Rico is to just learn more about people that have been with me for a long time. And then, you know, coming back and investing more in this relationship. Yeah, because I just, especially in LA, you have this, it's like this constant addition of new people and you need to meet this person and, you know, like they're really cool. They're this fucking incredible entrepreneur you need to connect. And you, after a while, you just realize you have all these shallow friendships and you're like, it's just tiring. I'm like, I just don't want to keep doing this. Mm. You know, for me, COVID kind of allowed me to have that excuse to stop, and I don't want to hop back on board with that. Because it wasn't that fun. But the whole point of all of this was to go deeper, not shallow, right? And I think that's the exercise.
100%.
And I think that's why people say they enjoy being older, is because you stop just investing in these relationships that are just so surface level, and you actually start to like Mark Manson talks about this in his book, but you only like spend time with the people you give a fuck about.
Yeah. So unfortunately the answer is again balance, right? Because it's like for you, you're noticing that you're having a hard time even keeping up your mm-hmm. current friendships. So for you the answer is to not get new ones. You yeah. know? And for others it might be, how do I seek new relationships mm-hmm. and friendships that align with where I'm at now?
Yeah.
I feel like every podcast, if we can just record
we should just call this podcast sentence, a bit of both.
Yeah, a bit of both. We can probably just get a line of me saying, I guess at the end of the day, the answer is balance. And just put that at the end of every podcast.
I like bit of both, though. I like the alliteration. Bit of both? Yeah. No, well, balance and a bit of both. Three Bs.
Oh, I like
balance
that.
And a bit of both.
That's welcome cool. back to balance and a bit of both.
Ooh. People be like, what the fuck does that mean?
And listen to find out. But, yeah.
Cool, guys. Well, this was fun. Thanks for having me. Enjoy the next 9 episodes.
He's going to the beach.
The views are clearly going to start sinking down, you know, but two is not as good as three.
They're pilot.
Genuinely, this is going to be an amazing podcast, and you guys are going to reflect a lot. I'm going to be so excited to listen to this while I'm away. Genuinely.
Friendship is a difficult dance. Whether longtime friends or brand new, family or stranger, the relationships that we foster along the way are the key to our growth as humans. This past year, friendships were tested unlike ever before, awakening realizations of what is truly important in all of our lives. With this awakening came self-understanding, and for many of us, painted a clearer picture as to what and who in our lives we needed to focus on. Building and maintaining relationships is not an easy accomplishment, but that is what makes them worthwhile. With some chapters closing and others beginning, we must continue to grow, contemplate on, and develop our friendships one day at a time. This season on the podcast, we are excited to take a deeper dive at a type of discomfort that we rarely get to feature in our videos, but that truly is where the real work happens, the internal discomfort. The discomfort of growth, the discomfort of change, and the discomfort of personal development. So subscribe to the Yes Theory podcast wherever you're listening and stick around for many more deep, vulnerable, and passionate conversations. We're excited to have you along for the ride, and we'll see you next week. I'm your host for this episode, Thomas Bragg. But I would not be here without my friends Matt and Amar. This episode was produced by Luke Himmelsbach and was edited and sound designed by Travis Loafman. The Yes Theory podcast is produced by Luke Himmelsbach for Expedition Audio. From Headspace Studios, this show is produced by Danny Karasimi. Additional production help from Demira Pierre. The executive producers are Leah Sutherland, Morgan Selzer, and Sam Rogaway.